Good morning. How are we? Not only did he upstage that, he pulled this off. He didn't like it. It was like, I don't like you with that thing on your face. I was thinking through this, the picture that you have of Jesus makes a massive difference to how Jesus can work in your life. So I think we have all these different pictures of Jesus. Some of you have the picture of, or when I say some of you, I'm talking quite generically, so community at large perhaps, but some people see like sweet little baby Jesus lying in a manger, and he's wonderful and he's sweet, but he's not going to make a huge amount of difference because he's a little sweet baby in a manger. And there was a movie a while back, and I can't remember the name of it, but this guy in it, and every time he prays, he's praying to sweet baby Jesus. And yeah, that's the one. And you know, if you're praying to baby Jesus, If you're praying to just the Jesus you see in the nativity scene, you're not understanding who he really is, the entirety. You're just praying to a baby, sweet and innocent. And then there's the cathedral Jesus. The cathedral Jesus is you know, the statue of Jesus, arms out on a cross, head bowed, but almost looking defeated and contained. And I've heard a story about a child that grew up in a church, and then, you know, a non-cathedral type church, and then visited a cathedral with his father and was quite concerned because, you know, Jesus was stuck up the front of the cathedral. And sometimes that's our picture of Jesus. He's Jesus on the cross, and the cross is really important, but he's nailed to the cross, he's contained, and that's where he is. But we know that that's not the full picture of Jesus, because he didn't stay on the cross. And the picture that we need to have of Jesus is not just Jesus on a cross, but we live on the other side of the cross. And that's not where Jesus is. He's not in the front of a cathedral, nailed to a cross, head bowed and contained. Sometimes that's how we see Jesus. Or sometimes it's the kid's storybook Jesus. And here he is sitting beside a lovely, lovely lake with nice green pasture, with a child on one knee and a lamb on the other knee, with striking blue western eyes. And yes, he's loving and he's embracing, but that's as much as we think that he is. Or perhaps you have the hippie Jesus. The Jesus that walked around in sandals and just sort of chilled with his disciples, sort of went randomly from place to place and was just sort of, you know, doing whatever came along and was just there, you know. And just that sort of Jesus. Maybe that's the picture you have of Jesus, particularly if you grew up in the 60s. Or maybe you're more the white horse sort of Jesus person. You know, the Jesus that you read about in Revelation, where he comes riding in on the white horse, and he's going to bring judgment to the world. He's going to put right all those things that are wrong. And that's how you see Jesus. You see him very much in that, and you don't see him beyond that. We all perhaps have these different pictures of Jesus, and really, all those ones that I've described, there's an element of each of those Jesus that is actually true. But he's so much more than any one of those pictures of Jesus. See, the hippie Jesus wandering around in his long gown and sandals, chilling with his followers, going from place to place, having random experiences, is, I think, it's even quite a popular sort of picture of Jesus amongst fairly seasoned Christians. Because it sort of sits okay with us and it's sort of cool. But we actually read that Jesus wasn't a hippie Jesus. He wasn't just chilling and hey man. He was actually a very intentional Jesus. And good morning to the Derwent Valley. How are you guys doing in the valley? So glad that you are with us this morning via the link. Heard great reports from the valley last week. So actually we're really excited, aren't we? Because pop-up festivals coming, and I've already heard great accounts of connections that are going on in Bridgewater, Gagebrook, and I believe that somebody says, hey, you know what, I'm going to go to the Valley Service this morning. So if you're in the Valley Service, that person, welcome to Energizer. If you're not, just keep praying and people are going to continue to be there. So we're so glad you're with us. But it says this in Luke 9:51, it says, as the time drew near for him to ascend heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And I think another version somewhere says, he set his face like flint and headed to Jerusalem. You see, Jesus didn't live his life as the baby Jesus. He didn't live his life as the hippie Jesus. He didn't live his life as the Jesus defeated on a cross, because we know that we live on the other side of the cross. But we do know that everything that he did was absolutely intentional. He came to earth at exactly the right time. It wasn't even a second wrong. He came exactly when he was supposed to be here. And everything that he did was intentional about the mission he was on. It wasn't just, sometimes you even say, well, he was going from here to there. Yes, he was intentional, but even in the intent, it feels like that he had time to stop and meet a random person and bring healing. But even that was actually very intentional, because there was purpose behind everything that he did. And if perhaps our view of Jesus is, you know, very much that hippie Jesus, well, we actually live a hippie sort of life where we float around from thing to thing and we actually never discover the purpose for which God created us to live by. And I want to talk a lot more about that this year. But Jesus did a lot of miracles along the way. You know, he's with his disciples, they traveled around the country raising the dead and performing amazing miracles. And these miracles, or as some people refer to them, signs and wonders, you know, they weren't the main game. They were actually an overflow of what was already happening that enabled those things to take place. And sometimes in Pentecostal churches like ours, we want to see more signs and wonders. We want to see more people healed. We want to see more miracles. I put my hand up. Yes, I do. But sometimes we want to focus on the thing, and we don't understand that what some people would call signs and wonders is actually an overflow of something that goes much deeper than those things that you see on the surface. Anybody been to Antarctica here? Halfway, yeah. Yeah, Mark was a fisherman and used to work on trawlers. And I know for a fact those trawlers went a long way south. So Mark's been about halfway to Antarctica. But you wouldn't have got to the icebergs, would you, Mark? You didn't quite get to the icebergs. It was probably just as cold, but you didn't get to the icebergs or obviously up in the Arctic Circle. And the thing about icebergs is, I would imagine, I've got a learned group of people here, most of you would know that 87% of the mass of an iceberg is actually under the water. What you see when you see an iceberg, and you've probably seen some of those, you know, amazing pictures of those cruises that you can go on, you know, up the coast of Alaska and into the Arctic Circle, and you know, you see these cruise ships going between these just incredible icebergs. But when you think about that, 87% of that iceberg is actually under the water. One of the actual most exhilarating things that I've experienced in Tasmania is is diving on the east coast of Tasmania around Shooton Island and the Fraser Nay Peninsula. And if you're familiar with that area, you know that there's some really incredible granite structures that you see poking up out of the water. They're absolutely striking. But if you're lucky enough to dive in that area, what you'll find is that, of course, those granite structures go a long way under the water. So where you might have a granite structure, you know, sticking up, you know, perhaps 15 or 20 metres or so above the water, that it actually goes down. I've been lucky enough to dive down beyond 30 metres under the water, where you actually just swim down over and between these absolutely incredible structures. And what you see above the water is actually being held up and it's being supported by what is under the water. So an iceberg, the reason it floats is because it's got this mass that is actually under the water that is obviously, you know, lighter than the water that it's displacing, so that the whole thing can actually float. And it's what is under the water that makes it sustainable to sit above the water. You see, the miracles and the wow stuff are like that section of an iceberg that is visible above the waterline. As we move to Vision Sunday in a couple of weeks, I would like us to focus and I would like us to build on, perhaps metaphorically, much more what is below the waterline. What is actually underneath? I think we're very good at saying what we want to see on the surface, but if you want to have what's on the surface, you've actually got to work at what's under the surface. Just like when you build a house, you can't just build a house flat on the ground without actually putting something into the ground to hold that house up. And the Bible's pretty clear about that. You know, it's what is unseen that supports and sustains what is and will be seen. Now this is true for an organization, this is true for our church, and this is true for your life. It is what is unseen that will support and sustain what is seen and what will be seen in your life. It says this It says this in John 5:19. I think poor little fella's getting some teeth or something. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So Jesus said, you know what, you see all the stuff, but you know what, the strength and the power of the miracles and the ministry and what was going on didn't actually come from the stuff that was the wow stuff. It actually came from him having a relationship with his Father where he could see what the Father was all about. Now, I don't know whether he specifically saw the Father do all these things, but what he was saying was, I have such an understanding of what he is about and what he wants to do, and I can picture that and I can see that when I go out and I start to minister, well, that flows out of what I've seen already in that place with the Father. Wouldn't it be amazing for you to go into each day and have an amazing sense of confidence in the things that you take on, the decisions that you need to make, the places that you need to go, what you need to say yes to, what you need to say no to, where you should be, how you should respond? Wouldn't it give you an amazing sense of confidence just to feel like you've got such a relationship with your Father in heaven that you have actually almost seen that before? And not that you've seen it necessarily specifically, but you think, you know what, I know that. I know how to respond, because you know what, I'm carrying the heart of my Father. That is what comes out of the unseen so that we can function in the seen. It says this in Matthew 6:17-18. "But when you comb your hair and wash your face," Lance, "then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father." "Who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you." Again, Jesus was saying, you know what, it's the unseen that supports that which is seen. You know, if you're fasting, there's a reason for it. Don't go walking around looking like, oh, you know, the backside's hanging out of your pants and you're just down to your last dollar and, oh, you're dragging yourself along and you know, almost this engagement because of how you look. He's actually saying, you know what, that's something that you keep in private between you and God, and that is what's going to bring power to the seen because of what has happened in the unseen. Whereas sometimes we do it all around the other way. We actually make the big deal about the fasting, and it actually now doesn't achieve what it was supposed to achieve because our focus is all about that rather than what the fasting is really all about, which is actually about denying yourself so that you actually put God in the place of those things that would sustain you, so you move into that place. At one point on his journey, Jesus sent out the disciples ahead of him. And it's interesting, in Matthew, you read this account of him sending out the 12 apostles, and it's probably the first time that you read of them listed as the apostles. And then in Luke, you read that he actually sends out the disciples, which was 72. I'm not sure whether it's exactly the same account or not, but they line up pretty well. But Matthew focuses on the apostles. Luke focuses on the whole. But when you read in Luke, you find that they all return after going through these towns before Jesus did. And they were buzzing. They were excited. They said, Jesus, hey, you know, this was such a cool ministry trip. You know, we went out and we preached. And you know what? Even the spirits, even the evil spirits had to give way to us. You know, when we told them to leave a person, when we told someone to be quiet because they were being tormented by something, we had power over these things. This was so cool. This was amazing. This was very, very exciting. This was their first ministry trip. They were buzzing. Maybe you've been on something like that. You know, the first time that you did something and it was like, wow, that's how they came back to Jesus. And Jesus has an interesting response. It says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. In other words, yes, they obey you because of my name, but I was actually there when the power of God actually brought this great delineation, and I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. And then he says, look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. So they come back excited, but he ramps it up a level and says, you know, like, not only are the evil spirits going to obey you, but you can live a fearless life. You know, when you're in my purpose, not when you're just going around doing stuff that's not kingdom purpose, but when you're in my purpose, you can live a life where, you know, you don't have to fear. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and they're not going to have power over you. But he says, don't get excited about that. That is almost a byproduct of what is going on. He says, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. He says, it's because you're citizens of heaven that you've been given power over demons. I didn't give you power over demons for the sake of going out and having a cool ministry trip. I didn't give you power over demons so that you can, you know, you can do stuff in your connect group and everybody goes, wow. He says, you have power over those things because you're a citizen of heaven. You know, you have power over that because of who you are now and where you come from. That's one of your rights as a citizen of heaven, to use the delegated authority of Christ. It is one of your rights as a citizen of heaven to use the delegated authority of Jesus Christ. I remember, and I've shared this before, when I was a first-year apprentice. And first-year apprentices get lots of jokes played on them and things like that. But what they used to send me, Dad would send me, I worked for my father, and he would send me to different places to, you know, to borrow different things from other workshops and things like that. And I remember as a, you know, 16-year-old going into these places, and these people didn't know me from a bar of soap particularly, but I'd go in there and say, oh, Warren Moore sent me, and he's asked, can we borrow, you know, the such and such and such and such. And after that, had a bit of fun with me and led me on a bit, they'd normally give it to me. And I'd take it back. And they didn't know me, but they weren't responding to the 16-year-old kid. They were responding to the relationship that they had with my father. Yeah. The fact that they knew him, and that meant that they would actually give that thing to me. And sometimes we wonder why stuff's not working. The reason is we make it all about us, and we don't make it about our Father who has authority over those things. You see, he has authority over the demons, and he delegates that authority to you in whatever situation you're in and whatever's going on, and he wants you to function in that delegated authority. He doesn't want you to live like a person that's just sort of just getting by. He wants you to function as a citizen of heaven, and he wants your relationship with him and what is unseen to be so powerful that what is seen is absolutely amazing. But what is seen is only going to be a byproduct of what is unseen. Again, what's under the surface supports and sustains that which is seen and that which will be seen. So these disciples came back buzzing. They'd had some success, and they were perhaps ready to go again. What was the secret of their success? And I think as we go into this next season, it's really important. They were sent on a mission. We're on mission. We're next week, next Saturday, we're pop-up festival in the valley. I think if you don't get excited about mission, and Alex said, well, you know, that's exactly what we're called to do. But even if you're sort of not there, why don't you right now, this week, decide that you're going to pray about that more than you ever have? Why don't you decide that you're going to be there? Why don't you come and talk to Grant and Lizzie and say, how can we help, you know, right here in Hobart and in the Derwent Valley? Because you know what? God has been doing incredible things there. There are all sorts of stories already, and there's been an openness like we haven't experienced in a lot of places. So you know what? The time is ready. God wants us to be there. You know, we are on mission. But even if we weren't doing that, we're still on mission, because that's what we're called to do and be. And so Vision Sunday is coming up, and we want to reaffirm and we want to refine our mission. So I want to tell you some things in the lead up to that. But it says this in Matthew 10, 1 to 8. Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them authority again to cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness. And then it goes, here are the names of the 12 apostles: Simon, also called Peter, then Andrew, Peter's brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, James's brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions: don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, and give as freely as you've received. So these guys had been with Jesus for a while at this point. This was their next. You see, they weren't just going to hang around and do the hippie Jesus thing and go from one place to another and just, hey, this is a great journey, and, you know, oh, wow. You know, he actually wanted to take them from where they were to what was next for them. And in a sense, they were preparing the way for Jesus, but Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't really need them to prepare the way. I think that trip was more about them than it was about Jesus. It was about them finding out who they were created to be. It was about them getting ready for what was going to come when Jesus was taken back to heaven. It was about them stepping in to their next. What is your next? What is your next? What are you getting ready to step into this year? Because I believe that there is incredible things for you next. And Jesus wants us to be ready for that. So this is how we can realize what's next. And verse 19 says, Jesus called them and he said, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to be fishers of men." You know, the main instruction that Jesus gave in the Gospels to those who responded to a call was follow. 8 times in Matthew, Jesus said, "Follow me." And those that study, those that have got a bit of knowledge of theology, will tell you that if something is repeated 3 times, that it actually sets a precedent, that it's actually very important. Jesus said this, it's recorded in one gospel 8 times, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Hey, go to AC College," as good as that would be. He didn't say, you know, "Get your stuff together, man." He didn't say, "Stop sinning." He actually said to that woman that was caught in adultery, after he had restored her, he met her where she was at, and then he said, "Hey, you are empowered to go and live a changed life. Go and sin no more." He didn't do that. He just said, "If you want this to work, follow me. Follow me." So the first thing that we've got to understand is that we want to work on what is unseen so that what is seen is perhaps where we feel we're called to be. We've got to follow Jesus. We need to follow him. So number one is follow. How can you realize your next? Follow. Not just a bit. Who knows, with little kids, you say, "Hey, come on. We're going here. We're going to the bathroom, or we're trying to get out of the supermarket, or whatever we're doing. You know, follow me." And they follow, sometimes if you're lucky, for 3 or 4 steps, and then they get distracted and they go in a different direction. And sometimes I think we feel that following Jesus is, okay, I put my hand up at a service on a Sunday morning and I said I would follow him, and I changed a few things. But you know what? Following him is to keep your eyes on him and keep following him and keep following him and keep following him and keep following him. You know, you only get lost when you lose sight of the person that you are following. If you are to keep your eye on Jesus and he's not going to make it so you can't see him, you actually can keep following him and you won't get lost. So number one, if we want to find out and step into our next, it is as simple as follow. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1, and Paul says, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Paul says, you know what? Because I have seen Christ. And Paul had a little bit more cred here than most of us. You know what? Paul, after he had that encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then he went off and he spent a whole lot of time, we said, in the wilderness and in sort of obscurity. But during that season, he talks about being caught up to the third heaven. And I don't exactly know what the third heaven is, but what it meant was he went right in to the very presence of Jesus. And he'd been with him in a sense that most physical people perhaps haven't experienced. And he had this real understanding. He perhaps got more intentional one time with Jesus than the rest of the apostles. And so he says, "Follow me as I follow Jesus," or "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And some versions say follow and some say imitate, and they take their origin from the Greek word for imitate, which is mementis, which is used about 7 times in the New Testament. So follow is defined as go after and admire and strive at. Imitate is defined as mimic or try to get as close to the real thing as possible. So I think where Paul, you know, Jesus said follow, and Paul was actually even taking it a step further, and he says, imitate. In other words, he was saying, get as close to Christ and the real thing as you possibly can. Yes, ultimately we need to follow and imitate Christ. But what's that? What's that look like in our world? Because I've met people who do weird and wonderful things, more weird than wonderful. And when you talk to them about it, they say, hey, I'm following Jesus. He told me. He told me that my marriage doesn't work anymore and, you know, I'd be better off with a younger model. I've met people, Jesus has told them things like that. So how does that really work in our world? Yes, we've got to have our eyes on Jesus personally. But I think Paul hit the nail on the head. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, there is an expectation and accountability where following Jesus also means that we actually find a godly, Christ-like person that we are prepared to follow. Let's look at the chapter before Jesus sent the disciples out. I think it's really interesting. It says in chapter 9 of Matthew 35 to 38, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and the villages of the area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. He healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to the disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. In Bridgewater, Gagebrook, and everywhere else. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, and ask him to send more workers to the field. So how can you realize you're next? Well, the second thing is pray. Before he did anything else with those disciples, he took them to a place and he showed them the vision and he showed them what was required, and then he said pray. He said pray, not just pray that, you know, something would happen. He says pray specifically, pray to the Lord who is actually in charge of the harvest, that he would send workers so that the harvest can actually be harvested. And he said send more workers. You see, the first thing about the way that we pray is pray in a way that you understand that you're not in charge, that our Father is in charge. You're not in charge, our Father is in charge. Pray to the one who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers. And I think that's really important this week as we go to Pop-Up Festival. Pray to the one who is in charge of the harvest. He's in charge. And let's really get our heart in line with the will of God for that area and start to pray. And the third thing is, how do you realize you're next? Well, it says, I think we've got to gather. Gather. It says this in Matthew 10, again, in verse 1. It says, Jesus called his disciples together and gave them authority. He actually didn't go around and have a little one-on-one sit-down with each of them. He didn't have this sort of little session with each of them and he said, you know what, perhaps he'd done these things, but it wasn't where the authority was given. He didn't say, hey, Peter, you know, you're going to be incredible. Yes, you're going to be, we've changed your name to Rock and you know, you're going to be part of building this amazing church, but, you know, you've got a big mouth and you need to sort of bring that back a bit. You seem to sort of think before you speak. Actually, you do pretty well if you could just work your mouth out. Or we've got James and John in and said, hey, you know what? You guys need to get that temper under control. You don't call down fire on everybody just because they don't go your way. He actually gathered them together, and the anointing and the authority was something that was done together. It was in their gathering and being part of the one cause and the one mission that they received authority. So how do you receive your next? Number four, you've got to receive. You've got to receive. See, imagine if those apostles came together and Jesus says, I am giving you my authority to go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, and have power over evil spirits. And half of them said, that's cool, Jesus, but actually we've been watching you for a while now and I don't think we need it. Because we can do it. We've seen how you do it. Back to my journey with apprentices. When an apprentice gets to their third year, they know a fair bit of stuff. They've learned, they can sort of function fairly well as a, in that area because they've been around long enough to know, but there's an awful lot they don't know. And I remember one particular guy that I had with me got to that point, and that was as far as he could go because at that point he knew everything and I couldn't teach him anything more. Yes, there were plenty of things I could have taught him, but I couldn't teach him because he got to a point where he knew it all. And I think sometimes we work with Christ like that, that we get to a point where we're, hey, I've been on this journey for a while and I don't need your delegated authority. We don't cognitively think that, but we function like that. Wow. Wow. We have got to receive. Right. Doesn't matter whether you've been working with Christ right. for 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 years, or 50 years. It is a constant journey of receiving, that empowerment, of Him actually filling us so that we can do what He's called us to do. He gave empowerment, He gave them authority. You know what? You want authority, then you've actually got to place yourself under authority. That's where it's, ooh! And ultimately, we don't mind. Oh yeah, I'm under the authority of Christ. But when Christ delegates that authority to people around us, for us to choose to place ourselves under His delegated authority, that's like, ooh. You mean you're going to ask me to come under authority of someone that's all right, but they're not perfect? Yep. See, ultimately, the authority of Christ is what we're under, but in real terms, it means coming under His delegated authority. They had power and authority over spirits, power to heal the sick and all manner of disease because they came under authority. See, on Tuesday, we've got our first Heart and Soul for the year. And I'm really feeling that we need to actually, as we go into a year where we don't want it to be just another year. We want God to work through us in incredible ways. The team want to join me, please. Well, number one, I think most of us who are going to be part of that would say, you know what, we're followers of Christ. We've actually chosen to follow. Number two, we've got to gather. It's hard to gather in our busy lives, isn't it? The Grubs have just come back from America. They've been on a whistle-stop tour of America. How long are you away? You're only away about 8 days, huh? 8 days. Anyway, they're back. But they're going to be there, I know. They've got no choice now. But you know what? It's like there's always stuff that stops us gathering. But for us this morning, it was hard getting to church. Just normal stuff with the kids and all that. And we got running terribly late. All sorts of things. But you know what? There's always an intent to gather. But when we gather, we receive. When we gather, we encourage. And I think mission, and I think authority, and I think what God is calling us into is not something that just happens by yourself. So as we get ready for a year, let's gather. Let's gather at Heart and Soul so that we hit Vision Sunday absolutely full of vision, full of expectation, full of faith, full of excitement. By then we'll actually be hearing testimonies about what God has done in Bridgewater Gage Pop-Up Church. You know, that is going to be a momentum. But let's decide, number one, that we're going to gather, we're going to turn up, that we're followers. Let's decide, you know, on that night we'll be praying, but let's be praying now. Let's be praying as we get ready for Heart and Soul. Let's be praying as you get ready for What's Your Next. Let's be praying as we get ready for the Pop-Up Festival. Let's be praying as we step in to a year where we're actually ramping up discipleship to a level that we haven't seen before amongst us. Let's be praying about what is unseen so God can work in the things in which we see. Let's be praying about that. We're going to pray at Heart and Soul. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to gather together in that sense. We'll pray for each other and we will receive. If you come, you're going to receive something from God. Because, you know, it says in the Bible that if you ask for a loaf of bread, that your good father's not going to give you a snake or something that will hurt you. His heart is to give. And, you know, when we've been like that, we're much more ready to go. And I think, how can you step into your next? Number five, and I'll finish with this, is go. 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 On Saturday, we go to Bridgewater. Do you want a virtual experience with Christ, or do you want a real one? Do you want the YouTube version? Our boys love watching YouTube. I don't know whether it's some of my influence or they were just there, but they love watching BMX and motocross and all these amazing things. And I can remember when I was a kid, Brother Andrew's here, and we'd have the motor, we didn't have YouTube. We had the motocross magazines in our bedroom. And I'm watching these guys now do these things on these motocross bikes that are just like insane. You know, the backwards and upside down and by one leg and you know, just absolutely incredible. We thought it was cool when someone went over one of those big jumps and went like this. Now, I can watch that, and I can watch the, you know, the BMX bikes, the trials bikes, and people doing incredible things on that. I can watch that. I can get excited. I can know all about it. I can understand. I can listen to the commentators, you know, who say some guy who just did some death-defying feat didn't quite nail it just because he was a little bit untidy. And I can know all that stuff. But, you know, I could probably get on one of those bikes from my history, and I could probably ride over some of the jumps and maybe even land it. Set myself up here now, I know. After a few goes, I could even go like that maybe. But I don't know about doing the Superman. I don't know about doing a backflip. And it doesn't matter how much YouTube I watch, it's just never going to happen unless I go. And you know what we have? We have a church, and I'm talking about the church, where we have more information, we know more, we have stuff just everywhere around us, but I think we go less. I'm not talking to you guys specifically, I'm talking very generally. I think we go less than actually ever we did. So you know what? If you want to step into your next, it just comes a point where it's okay, yes, I'm following Jesus. He's going, so I'm going with him, and I'm going to keep following him. You know what? I'm going to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the field. I'm actually going to gather together with like-minded people, and we're going to pray together. I am going to be one who receives, because I know that I can't do it by myself. I am going to receive. I'm going to receive empowerment. I'm going to receive anointing. I'm going to receive strength. I'm going to receive encouragement. I am going to receive passion. And you know what? And then I'm not going to live out a virtual YouTube Christian life. I'm actually going to go. I'm going to go. Well, what are you going to go into this week? No, we can very easily go to the Bridgewater Gauge Board, but there are many, many things where you've got to say, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. See, Mark got halfway to Antarctica. Maybe God's calling him to go all the way to Antarctica. Just stirring. But sometimes we do that, don't we? It's we got to step in and we got to go. In 2018, let's go. Following also means that you're leaving and going. When Jesus called many of those people, it says, you know, that the fishermen, they left their nets, they left their boats, and they followed. Matthew was a tax collector. He was making a packet, fleecing his own people for the Romans. He was doing really, really well, but he left it and he went. Sometimes the reason that we don't go is not the motivation or even the passion or the understanding. It's about having the unseen that will support the seen. This year is all about following. It's a year about building strength in what is unseen, so that will support and sustain what is and will be seen. It's about following, it's about praying, it's about receiving, it's about gathering.